Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner. I am a health science and physical education teacher here at Turner High School. My objective is to provide information to students about different healthcare careers and explain how these professionals got to where they are in their careers. Thanks for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in. Today we get the pleasure of meeting with Dr. Brian Seiler. He is the Director of Clinical Education in Athletic Training, Physical Therapy, Rehabilitation Science, and Physical Therapy at the University of Kansas Medical Center here in Kansas City. How are you doing today, Brian?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. And you're also an assistant professor there as well, teaching some of those classes. What can you give us a little description of what it means to be the director as well as a instructor there?
Sure. It's almost two roles into one. So as a clinical assistant professor, I do teach within the athletic training program. And something that's unique about our program at KUMC is that we cross teach with some of the physical therapy courses. So I also get to help teach some of the physical therapy classes as well. For my role as Director of Clinical Education, I have developed and really I do all of the placements for the athletic training students to get their clinical experiences. So I go out to clinical sites, I meet with the preceptors, I meet with the administration, I kind of pitch them the idea of having students there and how we can partner together. And then I make sure I get the students the experiences they need to be well prepared to graduate and to be an entry level athletic trainer.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So being able to oversee their basically like an internship, their clinical that's a pretty cool setup. How you're able to get out into the community and work with them. What is a typical day in the life of or week in the life kind of look like as a professor as well as in the clinic?
So it's a little bit different than what we would say a traditional athletic trainer would be. So I spend a lot of time in my office doing a lot of paperwork for the director of clinical education aspect to it. So that means I'm on the phone a lot, I'm sending a lot of emails, but I'm also writing up a lot of the documents and the agreements that we send out to our affiliation sites. Part of that role is that supervision, that supervisory role of students that I meet with them as seminars once a month or two times a month in the classroom, and we discuss what they're doing at their clinical sites, any problems, any good things, bad things that are occurring that we can discuss as a group, as well as provide them some additional, tips for clinical education. So in addition to that, not every day, but periodically, I go out to clinical education sites. And part of that is to make sure that the site is safe, meet with the preceptors, meet with athletic directors, meet with coaches, just so that we're all on the same page of, hey, we're bringing in a student to get clinical experience. This is what they're going to be doing here. And how are we going to make this work well together?
Yeah. What are some of those sites that you're putting student athletic trainers in?
Sure. We have a plethora of high schools around the area, from the Blue Valley School District, Shawnee Mission School District, as well as collegiate and university sites.
Okay.
Such as Rockhurst University, KU Athletics, as well as some junior colleges such as Kansas Community College. And then we also have Sporting KC as one of our affiliate sites as well.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. I've spoken with them as well on their Kurt Andrews about right. Their programs that they have. That's pretty cool to be able to put kids in all those different types of placements. So you studied your undergraduate at Slippery Rock University and got your bachelor's of athletic training there. How did you kind of pick and choose that school, and how did the program there kind of adapt to what you were doing?
So I'm originally from the Northeast, from Pittsburgh, and a lot of it at that time was location for me.
Yeah.
So I looked at in-state schools from across Pennsylvania and into Ohio. So a lot of it was location for me at that time. But when I got to look at some of the aspects of the programs, Slippery Rock had a great reputation for healthcare and specifically athletic training and job placement and just a good track record of the product and the students that they were graduating from their program.
Yeah, that's awesome. So then with that, what kind of led you to want to study athletic training?
Yeah, I was, and I kind of find this funny because everybody asks that question, even students, but I was a traditional, I was an injured athlete. I ran track and field, I played soccer, I played football in high school, and my junior year of track and field, I was injured, and I spent a lot of time in the athletic training clinic, a lot of time with my athletic trainer, and I really just thought it was interesting that there was this care provider there just for athletes, just for sports, to actually get us back to competition.
Right. Yeah. That, I mean, that's really, you know, being that, seeing that in real life, working on you, you know, being able to have that connection is really important. So from there, then you went and got your master's degree at Georgia Southern University, in sports psychology, kind of changing roles a little bit, but being an athletic trainer, how did you choose sports psychology?
So as part of my junior and senior year of my undergraduate program, I started taking classes in psychology. I really saw the connection between the psychological aspects of an individual as they go through the rehabilitation and treatment process. I completed my capstone project about the psychology of injury in my undergraduate, and I said, hey, this is great. How can I pair this better? And I looked for programs that were sports psychology related so that I could learn more about that aspect, whether it be performance enhancement or helping with the injured psyche, basically, of an athlete.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, a lot of that, especially the return to play and the confidence of being able to get back out and do the thing that caused you maybe to get hurt or injured to begin with, really falls in line with that. How many years was that program?
So that program was 2 years. It was really a program in kinesiology with a concentration in sports psychology.
Okay.
And that program taught me a lot about the tangible meeting and sitting down with athletes and actually going into counseling sessions with them to help them.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So then you also have your doctorate, and this is a cool one too, in doctorate in physical education, being a health and PE teacher. That's something that I've kind of always thought about, you know, getting another degree. How did you kind of fall into that role and looking into your doctorate program?
So as I was going through my master's program at Georgia Southern, I loved the clinical aspect to it. But for some reason, something was pulling me back to education, where I wanted to be the individual to teach and to mentor future athletic trainers. So I started looking for programs that would allow me to be part of their athletic training program to teach. As a matter of fact, University of South Carolina gave me that opportunity to be able to teach in their undergraduate program, but okay, also get my degree in physical education. And that degree in physical education was really concentrated on motor development, motor learning, those aspects of physical education that really paired well with sports psychology and just the whole movement science idea together.
Right. And going back to athletic training, being able to see the movement and understand the body even more with the development in that sort of setting. So we kind of talked about how you chose your field. What is something that you just absolutely love about teaching that future generation of athletic trainers?
You know, I think it's seeing the start to finish aspect to it. So a lot of times students get into a program, they get overwhelmed. It's a lot of content to take in. But I think what I really like about it is seeing those light bulb moments for the students and then connect the dots. Right. They then see them at the end and how we were able to mentor them and able to educate them through the process to be competent entry-level athletic trainers that can take what they've learned in the program and share it with others.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, just being able to, like you said, connect the dots and see the growth and development along the way is pretty cool. Kind of similar, you know, seeing kids as freshmen in high school taking a health class and then seeing them as a junior or senior here taking healthcare careers and really moving that development through is pretty cool. So as an instructor at University of Kansas Medical Center, what are some of the classes that you teach and what kind of things are students working on in their athletic training program?
So right now, I have the sole responsibility to teach the clinical education courses. So we have two different types of courses. We have integrated clinical education courses where they go to their clinical experiences and also have content related courses. But I also oversee the clinical immersion courses as well. Right. So within those two courses, I meet with students and really teach them leadership skills, teach them communication skills, review clinical aspects such as practicing skills that they've learned and reviewing skills that they've learned from previous courses.
Okay.
The other courses that I teach are in behavioral health for my background in sports psychology, as well as it's called therapeutic intervention. So our therapeutic modalities and rehabilitation, as well as our foundations and athletic training course, which is really just a basic course at the start of the program where they learn what is athletic training, different just basic foundational material that they will see throughout the program.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So then with that, as they progress through the program, they would enter in, you know, they would take their undergraduate classes at Lawrence. Is that correct?
So they can take it at Lawrence. We have a great relationship with the exercise science program at KU Lawrence. But they can really have an undergraduate in any type of program. It doesn't have to be healthcare related or science related. But we do have a list of prerequisites that they have to complete.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So then they would start taking your classes junior years at or sophomore year probably.
That's about right. Yeah. So all of those statistics or anatomy, chemistry, physics, biology courses, those are the types of prerequisites that we have.
Good. What is something that you're most proud of as a professor or in your career as an athletic trainer?
I think the most proud aspect is every student that graduates. And it's not really about proud aspect about me, but I love to see the students go from I don't know anything to being able to help other individuals. It really extends my ability to help that one person then help a lot of other individuals.
Yeah, absolutely. So as an instructor, what are some things that you have for professional development that you work on yourself to get better at your skill?
So one of the biggest things I think that helps me teach the students of, I guess, today is I'm also a PR and athletic trainer within the KU health system.
Okay.
So one part of my professional development is going out and being a preceptor for the program and working with our students in the clinical setting.
Right.
I also continue to gain experience in sports psychology by taking online or virtual courses and attending conferences, whether that be in person or virtual.
Okay. What are some of the industry trends that you're seeing with that as in the professional development with those conferences and sports psychology?
So a lot of the content is really now driven on cultural competence, behavioral health, diversity, inclusion, equity, which all stems from really the sociology, psychology of sport, of activity, where we are looking at different aspects of individuals to be included. We're looking at individuals' psyche or mental well-being, whether that be in sport, whether that be in their job setting, but making sure that we're not just treating the physical ailment that is wrong, whether it be an ankle sprain or a knee injury, but also looking at that through a continuum of care where they are able to mentally recover and be able to perform as well as they did before.
Yeah, that's being able to see that, and being a former athlete, I know that, you know, just an injury could cause other emotional settings where I got put on the, in October, I was a baseball pitcher. So throwing year round for 4 years throughout college, and then senior year strained my UCL. And that month of that I was told that I can't throw a baseball was not much fun.
Right. It's crushing. And a lot of athletes, if we're specifically talking about athletes, lose a sense of their identity. And they don't know where to find that again. And sports psychology and counseling them through that is really helpful, so that they have a positive aspect, positive outcome at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some of the industry trends that you're seeing within athletic training? And that could be regards to, like we just kind of talked about, that mental health aspect. But what are some of the other industry trends that students are now learning versus an athletic trainer that maybe got their degree 15, 20 years ago?
So compared to when I got my degree, yes, there's a lot of educational differences now. We are now teaching students to be able to close wounds, and that's very broad, but some of the programs have started to teach suturing for their students, as well as including some blood draws, phlebotomy, IVs. So a lot of those higher end skills that could be really life-saving for an athlete or an individual.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about a little bit about your certifications. Like you said, being an athletic trainer in the program, you have a lot of initials after your name. I was looking on your website, you know, the LAT, ATC, PES, CES, and the BCS. Let's talk a little bit about some of those certifications that you hold.
Sure. So the first two, the LAT and ATC, are strictly for athletic training. So ATC is a credentialed athletic trainer. So that is provided to us by the Board of Certification after we passed a credentialing exam. And to practice within the state of Kansas, we also have to be licensed. Okay. So our license is for the state of Kansas only that I have. The other certifications, the PES, Performance Enhancement Specialist, CES, Corrective Exercise Specialist, and then the BCS is Behavior Change Specialist, are all through the NASM, National Academy of Sports Medicine. And those are supplemental certifications that I have studied for and gotten over a period of time to help with my clinical practice,
right.
Whether that be rehabilitation and enable to teach those courses, as well as behavior change in order to help athletes and individuals make better decisions and mentally recover from injury.
Yeah. So with that, you know, as we talked about, you know, working with the professional development, what are some of your career goals that you have set for yourself maybe over the next 5 to 10 years?
So I don't want to say I'm at the pinnacle of my career, but I love my job and everything that I do every day. So one of the biggest aspects that I'm working on right now is getting trained in mental health first aid to be an instructor. And in order to do that, I have to go through a course through the state of Kansas. And after doing so, I will be able to train other individuals in mental health first aid. And one of my goals is to have our school or most of the university trained in mental health first aid, and then share that within the community with our clinical sites, whether that be our preceptors, our athletic directors, our coaches, but right. extend that knowledge so that it's not just one person being ready, but a whole group of individuals being ready in case something happens.
Can you explain what that mental health first aid, kind of what that is and what it looks like as well?
Sure, mental health first aid is it's the equivalent of regular first aid for mental health concerns. Okay. So if we see somebody struggling, if we see a change in behavior, if we see a student or an athlete that is having a hard time with injury loss, parent loss, something like that, that we're able to step in and be confident to talk to that individual and either help counsel them or get them the help that they need, whether it be to the guidance counselor at a school, to the counseling center, or maybe it is to call one of the hotlines to get them further assistance.
I feel like that would be something that would be very helpful for high school coaches to be able to have access to that. As a teacher, I'm trained in first aid CPR and some of the sports psych type stuff that I've just had in classes. But I think that would be something that would be really beneficial to high school coaches to be able to have that information and see it. So with that, what do you think you wish you would have known? We're going to kind of jump in a little deeper into how you chose your career path and where you're going with that. But what's something you wish you would have known in high school or maybe early on in college that you feel like could help you with your career now?
I think one of the biggest things is knowing that education is an option. So a lot of times we go through athletic training programs and the instructors are focused on producing clinicians, those that practice in a clinical setting.
Right. And
what I would love to know is that education is an option, that yes, we have to get some experience in the clinical setting to use that experience to teach, but there is that need for educators in the future to continue having athletic training programs to produce clinicians.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And I see that kids, look at, oh, I want to be a teacher. Okay, well, what do you want to teach? Oh, I want to be a nurse. Okay, well, how are you going to do that? What being able to see and, like you said, teach that ability to go through. This is going to be a three-part question. It's advice for a high school student interested getting into athletic training. What advice do you have for that high school student?
So for high school is get out there and get experience. Whether it be asking your high school athletic trainer if you have one, whether it be volunteering in the community, but getting out there, getting experience, as well as starting the program search early. There are a ton of programs across the United States. There are programs starting in other countries. But getting out, researching the programs, and with athletic training going through such a transition right now from undergraduate degree to master's degree, you have to really understand where the program is at and what that program can provide to you in the future.
Yeah. Where are some places that you might recommend that they volunteer?
So I would say, just from my experience, a PT clinic. Some PT clinics over the summer look for PT aides, and just getting to know the healthcare process, even though it's not specifically in athletic training, but knowing how athletic trainers and PTs can work together, knowing what an ice pack is, knowing what a hot pack is, knowing how to drape somebody, knowing how to do different tasks will really help you interact with patients better in the future.
Awesome. So this one is now going to be for a college student, maybe like a sophomore, junior, that's applying to or trying to get into the athletic training program. What advice do you have for that college undergraduate that's getting into athletic training program?
Number one advice is to make sure when you're speaking with your advisor is getting them to help you make sure you have all the prerequisites for the program that you want to apply to.
Yeah.
A lot of the prerequisites are very similar, but there are some programs that have different prerequisites that if you want to apply to that program, you have to make sure you are able to take that course at your university before mm-hmm. applying to those programs.
Now, would that be something like anatomy and physiology together versus anatomy as a class with the clinic and physiology with the class with the clinic?
So depending on how the athletic training program is established, we do take separate anatomy and physiology or a combined version,
okay.
but it looks at credits. It has to be 6 to 8 credits. But those other courses that you may not think of, such as a personal health course, uh-huh. or a statistics course, or actually a physics course, and then the prerequisites that you have to get into those courses. It's kind of a puzzle, if you will,
right.
With your advisor to make sure that you're able to fit those all in before graduation.
Yeah, that makes sense. Just having those all lined up and making
right.
sure the right ones, even if you're, especially if you're transferring from a different school, or have community college hours as well.
Right.
Now, the next part of this one is for a recent graduate looking for a job. So say one of your students is graduating this December and they're starting to apply for jobs.
So biggest advice is, where do you see yourself in the future? As part of my role for Director of Clinical Education, I will sit down with each and every student and ask them that very question. Where do you see yourself in the future? You've had all of these experiences throughout the program. Where are you going to excel at?
Right.
And where do you see yourself in the future? Because if you don't like where you're at, then that's not going to be the best spot for you. Or if you don't excel in that area, that may not be the best place for you.
Yeah. So we're going to piggyback off that now. And you know, as a seeing all these students graduating and getting jobs and going into the workforce, somebody that's, you know, 3 to 6 months into being an athletic trainer, you know, they have some job experience. They're able to get the hands-on training at their individual location. But what are some things that those type of groups should be concentrating on working on or learning or advice?
I think when you first get into the profession, asking questions, asking just processes and procedures on how to do things for that specific setting, because they're all going to be different, and you want to make sure that you're following those policies and procedures to the best of your ability, as well as refining your skills. We teach and we learn a lot in an athletic training program.
Yep.
And to take those and to really develop your personal treatment idea or your rehabilitation philosophy is really important that first 6 months to a year out from a program, so that you feel confident in the clinician that you are. Whether that be I'm very hands-on modality or I am very mechanical modality where I use a lot of electrical modalities.
Yeah.
That's an establishment of how you treat and how you interact with your patients.
Yeah. So then I guess with that, what are some products as an athletic trainer, like you're talking about the different modalities, what's a product that you really like? It could be a newer product or one that is just a tried and true that you've used all the time.
You know, there are so many new products out there, and just because I'm not in the clinical setting as much as I was before,
right.
You know, true to it, I go to hands-on.
Yeah.
I didn't go to an undergraduate program with all the bells and whistles and all the fancy equipment because I knew some of the experiences that I would have after wouldn't have those. So knowing the hands-on skills, knowing actually, and I know it's not equipment, but massage techniques, and manipulation techniques that we can use to help without using the mechanical modalities is, I think, really the best thing that you could do.
Yeah, that's good. What's a book that you might recommend for a high school or college student that is interested in getting into athletic training?
One of the best, I guess, books, and if you don't mind, I'll change it to more of a sports psychology driven one.
Yeah,
in the Pursuit of Excellence.
Okay.
It's a textbook about it describes a wheel of excellence where you are able to take each piece of the wheel and excel in it to get to your final outcome. And I like how applicable it is. And I love the different activities that are within the book that you can apply. And that could be with athletic training, but that's just more of a personal performance textbook that you can use in a variety of settings.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm definitely going to go look up that one. So when I first talked with our athletic trainer here at the high school, she brought up the question, if you like or if you dislike blank, then being an athletic trainer is not for you. And so her answer was feet. If you don't like feet, then being an athletic trainer is probably not the right thing for you. Rolling and taping ankles, all that kind of stuff. So we're going to go with, if you dislike blank, being an athletic trainer is not the right profession for you.
I would say if you dislike blood.
Blood, yeah.
Or any other type of bodily fluids that you have to address.
Right. Especially with, seeing some of the more gruesome injuries and that kind of stuff, open fractures, all that fun stuff. I can imagine that, especially with the blood, that would be a big turnoff. And then the second part of it is if you'd like blank, then being an athletic trainer is the right profession for you.
If you like interaction, athletic training is all about interacting with everybody around you, and it changes on a daily basis.
And then do you have a mantra or quote that you kind of live your work by?
Yeah, I've been using this mantra, and sometimes I actually sign my emails to students this way, and it's always keep growing. And no matter if it's a big step in the right direction or it's a small step back, you're still growing and knowing what you like, what you don't like. And as long as we're taking those steps towards getting better as an individual or a professional, that mantra of always keep growing can fit in any aspect of our life.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good one. So now I want to talk to you. This was not on the script that we had talked about at all, but with KU's athletic training program, I'd like to learn some more about specific to KU and what students can learn and why to choose KU as their place to go to become an athletic trainer.
Yeah, so that is a wide open question. We go different directions with that, but one of the biggest things of why pick KU Med for their degree, I guess I can break it down to a couple things, is one, we're the only program in Kansas at a medical center. So there are other programs in Kansas, but we're the only one within a medical center that actually co-teaches with physical therapy students. So I would say number two is that you don't just have a faculty of two or three individuals, you have a faculty of about 10 individuals that you'll interact with throughout the program. And you'll get to learn alongside physical therapy students. And some of these students you may be colleagues with in the future.
Right.
So I think those different lenses aid to developing a all-around better clinician upon graduation. I think one of the other big things is we start our program with cadaver anatomy and applied anatomy. And having that type of course at the start really refines your anatomy and physiology skills and content that you learned in your undergraduate degrees, and kicks it up another notch to really apply and to see where that muscle is moving, the origins, the insertions, where it's actually located, so that you can improve your evaluation skills.
Absolutely.
The last thing I would say is how our clinical education is set up. We do have 4 sequential immersive experiences that go from 4 weeks, 8 weeks, and 16 weeks. One of the biggest things that our program has is faculty that know individuals across the United States.
Right.
So we are establishing affiliation agreements with schools in California, University of Santa Clara, to across on the East Coast at Boston University. Yep. So we have individuals that will be going to those sites and learning outside of the Kansas City area.
Right. Just being able to have access to that alone is absolutely amazing to, you know, see those different locations available to students is pretty cool. Well, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you coming on and talking with us about the University of Kansas and how to become an athletic trainer and your background. Thank you so much.
Thank you.